the first episode of what we hope is going to be a series of many episodes on our For the Health of It podcast. I'm Cody Samuelson. I'm the Healthcare Coalition Coordinator for the Tri-Cities Medical Response System and also an employee of Two Rivers Public Health Department. I'm joined today by Emergency Response Coordinator Catherine Mulligan, and we're going to take you through a little bit of how health departments came to be, what they're doing in response to COVID-19, and some facts versus myths about COVID-19. When the Nebraska Healthcare Funding Act was passed in May of 2001, 16 new multi-county health departments were created. As a result, all Nebraska counties are now covered by a local health department. There are 19 in total today.
We are staff members of Two Rivers Public Health Department, and our department serves nearly 100,000 individuals in seven counties in South Central Nebraska. Those counties are Buffalo, Dawson, Franklin, Gosper, Harlan, Kearney, and Phelps counties, with offices in Holdridge and Kearney.
Our mission is, Two Rivers Public Health Department engages collaborative partners, community leaders, and the public to promote healthy lifestyles, productive preventative education, assure environmental quality, and create more healthy and safe communities for all who live within the district.
Our vision is, Two Rivers Public Health Department envisions a health district where all are able to safely and actively live, learn, work, and play in their communities. Two Rivers Public Health Department facilitates collaboratives, partnerships, and unique approaches that educate, empower, and engage local community partners, health providers, political decision makers, and community leadership and the public.
Our health department has a range of programming, including, but not limited to, emergency response under the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Grant, facilitation of the Hospital Preparedness Program, disease surveillance, preventative community services such as dental, immunizations, and other preventative health programs. Two Rivers Public Health Department also supports key community initiatives such as Dawson County Rooted in Relationships, focusing on increasing socio-emotional health in early childhood, and the Kearney Intervention Team focus on disrupting the pathway to violence.
Our work is guided by our community through an extensive community health assessment process in which members of our communities gather to review data and identify key issues through a variety of viewpoints. Community health assessments look outside the performance of individual organizations serving public groups in the community to the activities of many organizations that contribute to the health and improvement of the community. Community health assessments provide information for problem and asset identification, policy formulation, implementation, and evaluation. The product of community health assessments results in a community health improvement plan. Our community health improvement plan priorities are access to care, mental health, and high impact prevention programming.
Throughout the series of our For the Health of It podcast, we intend to touch upon all of our work, but episode one is going to focus on the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program and the Hospital Preparedness Program.
After the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, the world as we collectively knew it changed. Suddenly, unprecedented threats became reality. Eventually, federal funding was put together as part of the FEP and HPP grants to help local public health departments and communities be better prepared for natural and man-made disasters.
Since 2002, the FEP Cooperative Agreement has provided assistance to public health departments across the nation. This helps health departments build and strengthen their abilities to effectively respond to a range of public health threats, including infectious diseases, natural disasters, and biological, chemical, nuclear, and radiological events. Preparedness activities funded by the FEP Cooperative Agreement specifically targeted the development of emergency-ready public health departments that are flexible and adaptable.
As the only source of federal funding that supports regional health care system preparedness, HPP promotes a sustained national focus to improve patient outcomes, minimize the need for supplemental state and federal resources during emergencies, and enable a rapid recovery. HPP is the only source of federal funding for health care system readiness.
HPP prepares the healthcare system to save lives through the development of regional healthcare coalitions. HCCs are groups of healthcare and response organizations that collaborate to prepare for and respond to medical surge events. HCCs incentivize diverse and often competitive healthcare organizations to work together.
Two Rivers Public Health Department participates and facilitates the Regional Healthcare Coalition that is known as the Tri-Cities Medical Response System. The acronym is TRIMRS. There are 23 counties in the TRIMRS region. Healthcare coalitions have four core members: hospitals, local public health departments, emergency management agencies, and EMS.
Collectively, FEP and HPP work involves organizing and implementing preparedness disaster exercises involving hypothetical scenarios involving natural disasters, man-made incidents, and even infectious disease outbreaks. Fast forward to early 2020, and this sets the table for us to talk about the work that has been done and is being done to prepare for the virus that causes COVID-19. We also want to give you, the listener, facts to spread.
Since mid-January, Two Rivers Public Health Department staff has been listening to CDC and State of Nebraska DHHS conference calls to provide situational updates about COVID-19. A new program to emergency preparedness workers in the state of Nebraska is called Knowledge Center, a cloud-based platform that allows users to enter incident-specific information that can be viewed across the state by other users. All of the information is securely stored, and we can go back when all is said and done and create a report about COVID-19, the lessons learned from it, and what can be improved on to be better prepared for a future outbreak.
TRPHD has also prepared in a series of what are called tabletop exercises about infectious disease outbreaks occurring in our district. Essentially, a tabletop exercise is what takes place when personnel that may respond to a disaster gather together in a room to discuss what the response would look like from start to finish. Lessons learned from the tabletop exercise are factored into planning for and carrying out a full-scale exercise where the disaster is acted out and could include volunteers serving as actors and mock victims.
One tabletop took place in Phelps County in December and involved discussion of an unknown infectious disease being spread at the county fair.
Another tabletop took place at CHI Health Good Samaritan, and the hospital personnel discussed how they would respond to receiving and treating patients with COVID-19.
At this point, we are focused on communicating up-to-date, accurate information that is available to hospitals, clinics, long-term care centers, city and county officials, city and county attorneys, law enforcement, EMS responders, and emergency managers through a series of conference calls, webinars, meetings, and more. State and federal officials are also communicating that information to officials we mentioned, and it has been a thorough and collaborative effort.
What we'd like to do now is turn to offering some information specific to frequently asked questions and other facts or myths involving COVID-19. We are passing along information from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention as much as possible. We encourage listeners to verify information they are receiving about COVID-19 is from a trusted source.
What is coronavirus disease 2019, or COVID-19 as we call it? COVID-19 is a respiratory illness that can spread from person to person. The virus that causes COVID-19 is a novel coronavirus that was first identified during an investigation into an outbreak in Wuhan, China.
How does COVID-19 spread? The virus that causes COVID-19 probably emerged from an animal source, but is now spreading from person to person. The virus is thought to spread mainly between people who are in close contact with one another, probably within 6 feet, through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. It may also be possible that persons can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it and then touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly their eyes, but this is not thought to be the main way the virus spreads. Learn what is known about the spread of newly emerged coronaviruses at CDC's website.
What are the symptoms of COVID-19? Patients with COVID-19 have mild to severe respiratory illness with symptoms of fever, cough, and shortness of breath.
How can I protect myself? People can protect themselves from respiratory illness with everyday preventative actions. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Sing the happy birthday song to yourself twice. Or you can use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol if soap and water are not available. Soap and water hand washing is the best method and the preferred hand washing method.
If you are sick, to keep from spreading respiratory illness to others, you should stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue, then throw the tissue in the trash, and clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces.
Is there a vaccine? There is currently no vaccine to protect against COVID-19. The best way to prevent infection is to take everyday preventative actions, like avoiding close contact with people who are sick and washing your hands often.
Should I wear a mask or a respirator in public? The CDC does not recommend the routine use of respirators outside the workplace settings or in the community. Most often, the spread of respiratory viruses from person to person happens among close contacts, usually within 6 feet. A mask should be worn if you go to a medical facility for care. Strive to notify the medical facility of your arrival before showing up to the facility for specific instructions. You will be given and or should put on a mask as soon as possible when you arrive at the medical facility for care. This is done to prevent you spreading the illness. Don't be alarmed. Also, don't be alarmed if the medical providers treating you are wearing masks or other protective equipment. This is done for their protection.
And just a little bit of information from the World Health Organization. Does the new coronavirus affect older people, or are younger people also susceptible? People of all ages can be infected by the new coronavirus. Older people and people with pre-existing medical conditions such as asthma, diabetes, heart disease appear to be more vulnerable to becoming severely ill with the virus. WHO advises people of all ages to take steps to...
True or false? You can protect yourself from COVID-19 by swallowing or gargling with bleach, taking acetic acid or steroids, using essential oils, salt water, ethanol, or other substances. These are all false. Please do not take any of these steps. Protect yourself with hand washing and covering your cough into your elbow if possible, and avoiding those who are sick.
Now it's time for some coronavirus myth versus fact. These were pulled from HopkinsMedicine.org. True or false? The new coronavirus was deliberately created or released by people. That's false. Viruses can change over time. Occasionally, a disease outbreak happens when a virus that is common in an animal such as a pig, bat, or bird undergoes changes and passes to humans. This is likely how the new coronavirus came to be.
True or false? Ordering or buying products shipped from China will make a person sick. False. Researchers are studying the new coronavirus to learn more about how it infects people. As of this writing, scientists note that most viruses, like this one, do not stay alive for very long on surfaces, so it is not likely you would get COVID-19 from a package that was in transit for days or weeks. The illness is most likely transmitted by droplets from an infected person's sneeze or cough, but more information is emerging daily.
True or false? A face mask will protect you from COVID-19. Unfortunately, that's false. Certain models of professional, tight-fitting respirators, such as the N95, can protect healthcare workers as they care for infected patients. However, for the general public without respiratory illness, wearing lightweight, disposable surgical masks is not recommended. Because they don't fit tightly, they may allow tiny, infected droplets to get into the nose, mouth, or eyes. Also, people with the virus on their hands who touch their face under a mask might become infected. People with a respiratory illness can wear these masks to lessen their chance of infecting others. Bear in mind that stocking up on masks makes fewer available for sick patients and healthcare workers who need them. Here are some myths and misinformation discussed about COVID-19 in a Tech Insider video by Dr. Sira Madad, who is a special pathogens expert for New York City's Health and Hospitals System-Wide Special Pathogens Program, and Dr. Stephen Morse, who is a professor of epidemiology at the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University.
True or false? Getting the coronavirus is a death sentence. False. Based on available data, it seems to be a mild type of viral infection. There's a 2% fatality rate, 18 to 20% in the critical condition range. The 2% that die are already in the hospital and are among the sickest of people.
Only Chinese people have the coronavirus. That's not true. The virus started in China, but the reality is, it's everyone's virus.
Coronavirus is the most dangerous virus. This is not true. Ebola has a much higher fatality rate.
Wearing a mask will protect me from the virus. A mask creates a false sense of security. The masks are often worn improperly, and the mask that most of the public wears doesn't filter out particles. The masks are for those infected with the disease, not a healthy individual.
Coronavirus came from bat soup. Absolutely not. From what is known, the virus may have started in a wet market in Wuhan, China, and a number of animals are present.
You can get sick from a package sent from China. That's highly unlikely given the time it takes for a package to arrive. It's still unknown exactly how long coronavirus is active on a surface.
Closing borders will stop the spread of a virus. Viruses don't respect borders. Travel bans in the past have proven to be very ineffective.
The virus only affects older people. This virus affects everyone, even children. However, older adults are more likely to have severe disease.
COVID-19 and SARS are the same. COVID-19 and SARS are in the same family, but are two different viruses. There are 7 types of coronaviruses that infect humans. 3 of the coronaviruses that infect humans cause severe respiratory infections. These 3 coronaviruses that infect humans are SARS, or Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, MERS, which is Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and now COVID-19. SARS was more severe in terms of the fatality rate that was reported at about 10%. And COVID-19, which we're seeing right now, has approximately 2% fatality rate. It spreads more like the flu.
Ah, yes, one of my favorites here. The coronavirus has something to do with Corona beer. No, it doesn't. And beer won't prevent it either. Corona is simply Latin for crown, and the virus appears to have a crown-like appearance with those spikes sticking up.
My pet could give me COVID-19. Coronaviruses do tend to jump from animals to humans, but it is unknown whether your pet could give you COVID-19. It's more likely that owners are giving COVID-19 to their pets.
The coronavirus was deliberately created and released. 3 coronaviruses in 3 decades have appeared. This one does not appear to look special. We're giving humans too much credit here.
Antibiotics prevent and treat COVID-19. Viruses and bacteria are 2 different microbes. Antibiotics are used for bacteria. Antivirals are used for viruses. For COVID-19, we will use antivirals to treat once clinical trials are completed.
And so, with that, we've already reached the end of episode 1. If you'd like more information, contact us, visit our website at trphd.org, visit our social media, and reach out to us. I'd like to give a shout-out to Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey at purpleplanet.com for the music. The intro title is Feeling Good, and the outro, which will follow shortly, is called Sunbeam. You can find their music at https://www.purple-planet.com. See you next time.